Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Turn with me, please, to Psalms 91. And I'll get us started in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for those that are on the line with us tonight. I thank you for those that will listen later. I thank you, Father God, for the warriors that you're raising up. I thank you, Father God, for the army of intercessors that are coming forth in our nation and around the world. I thank you, Father God, for the turmoil that we're about to see. I thank you, Father God, for the shaking that's coming. I thank you that you're uprooting things in this hour, Lord God. I thank you. Yes, Lord, I thank you for the shaking that's coming. I thank you, Lord God, that you're about to uproot things in our nation that we've been waiting a long time to see uprooted. I thank you, Lord God, that it takes a shaking to uproot evil. It takes a shaking to uproot danger. It takes a shaking, Lord God, to uproot that which is not of you. Those that are strong, that are steadfast, that are anchored in you shall remain in the midst of the shaking. I thank you, Lord, for those that will remain fast in the midst of the shaking. I thank you for the warriors. Give us grace tonight, Lord God. Give us grace as we go through your word, as we seek your face. Give us grace and subtle things around us so that we can focus on what you have for us tonight. And I thank you tonight, Lord God, for President Trump. I thank you for the mantle that is upon him. I thank you for the strength that is in him. I thank you, Lord God, that you have been preparing this man for more than 70 years to stand in the Oval Office and take the blows for the church, take the blows for the innocent, take the blows for the people of this country in order to transform this country into a nation that is prepared and ripe for a move of God. Thank you for giving him the strength. Thank you for giving him the courage. Thank you for giving him the boldness. Thank you for giving him the family that you've given him to stand with him in the midst of this unbelievable shaking. Thank you for our president. We love you, Lord. Every day we realize even more how much we love you, how much we adore you, how much we need you, how much we rely on you. So tonight, as we press into your word, Lord God, help us to find greater connectivity with you, greater strength in you, greater stability, Lord, in you. For the midst of the shaking. I thank you, Lord. In your precious and holy name, amen. Psalms 91 is a key psalm. And if you are not reading this over yourself, over your family, over your business, if you're in ministry, over your ministry, if you're in Joel's Army, over your prayer cell, every day, I encourage you to do so. Last week, I shared with you about the rise of the Samuel generation and the Hannahs that need to take a step forward and to cover the Samuel generation. That is not a gender-specific role. I want to tell you that, and I want to encourage you to know that if you are a man and an intercessor, you are part of the Hannah generation, and that's okay. If you are a woman and you are a warrior, if you hear the voice of God and declare the word of the Lord, you are a part of the Samuel generation. It is not gender specific. And we're not a gender neutral gender. We're not going into any of that. What I'm trying to tell you is the Samuel generation is rising and it's up to the intercessors to pray it in. And if you didn't listen to our message last week, I encourage you. It's on the website. I gave some updates about the GOE and what the Lord showed us the GOE in that message. And it talks about the rise of the Samuel generation. They're necessary for what we're going to do. Young men and women who are valiant warriors for the kingdom of God. We must pray them in. Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. This psalm is a psalm that is meant for every day of our lives, morning and night. This psalm is a psalm that we need to pray over ourselves as we're headed into battle. And my friends, we are in a battle for the soul of this nation. Plain and simple. We're in a battle for the soul of this nation. While we were at the gathering, and I explained this last week at the end of the message, and I shared with you what the Lord showed me about the shaking that's coming to our nation. There is a shaking coming, but the shaking is going to uproot some things in our country that God has been wanting to uproot for a very long time. He's been in process. The time that we've spent in the gatherings praying for the last 20 years has been an effort to uproot these things, to expose the darkness and uproot that darkness. In the time that we have over the course of the next couple of months and into next year, we must prepare ourselves to endure the shaking. What does it mean when we have tribulation, when we have shaking, when we have trials, when we have struggles? It means it's not going to be very pleasant. That's what it means. In fact, it might get quite difficult. You might feel anxious. You might feel stressed. And I'm telling you that because the reality of it is when they went to a vote today on whether to proceed with the impeachment hearings on President Donald J. Trump, I felt anxious, and I said, Lord, what is going on here? And my team and I came together, and we went to prayer. And as we went into prayer, and they said they voted to proceed, that doesn't mean they're voting to go ahead with the impeachment. They're voting to proceed with the impeachment hearings. Everything that they're doing, I'm telling you the truth, everything that they're doing against our president is not lawful in the eyes of God. And much of it is not lawful in this land. Much of what they've done against our president, in fact, is unconstitutional. A couple years ago when we went to our GOE, the Lord told me He's taking us back to our roots, back to the Constitution. I know there was a time that I wasn't able to attend to a DC GOE, and we brought out the Constitution, and we signed it, and we declared it, and we placed it back on our nation, establishing it as the foundation from which our nation is rooted. And since that moment, what we've seen taken place is to root that Constitution deep into the bedrock of our country. The enemy has been trying to uproot it. Why does he want to uproot the Constitution? Because the Constitution is the foundation on which our nation stands. That's our foundation. What happens when you uproot a nation's Constitution? Someone else can come in and rewrite things, rewrite the laws. It strips us of the rule of law. Let me give you an example. Back in the 50s, they came into Nigeria. Islamic leaders came into Nigeria, and they began to water down the Constitution of Nigeria. And they whittled away and whittled away and whittled away at the Constitution of Nigeria. And they began to replace it with their own. And if you look at Nigeria today, you're going to see a nation that is wrecked, that is being destroyed by Islamic extremists. They come in and they root their way into the government, every governmental level. They root their way into the different positions and different offices in that nation. And they pick apart and tear away. It's a foundation of that nation. Nigeria actually was a very wealthy nation. Of all of Africa, Nigeria had tremendous natural resources. And when they came in and began to strip their nation of its constitution, they began to bring in their own people of power. Corruption ensued, and the precious minerals founded in Nigeria were funneled out of Nigeria, leaving that country a very poor and destitute land. If you've been at our GOEs, we've talked about this. Shio and OJ have talked about this. So when I look at what's gone on in Nigeria, and I look at how Islam has infiltrated that nation, stripped it of its constitution, stripped it of its wealth, and it's now killing the Christians, I think, well, we have quite the blueprint that has been set in motion for our country. Right now, they've come in, and they're trying to strip our nation of its constitution, strip us of our constitutional rights. And we've been praying for 20 years against this. They're trying to take away our free speech. How are they doing that? Well, anything we say is declared hate speech. That's how they strip us of our free speech. If we don't agree with what they say, or it's something that's ungodly or unscriptural, then we are committing a crime of hate speech against them. They can say anything they want about the Bible. They can say anything they want about God. They can say anything they want about Jesus. And if we contest that, then we end up getting in trouble. They want to bring in homosexuality into Christian organizations. We have no choice but to accept them. It breaks down the family unit. It strips us of our ability to stand up for what we believe. It strips us of our ability to stand for righteousness. We are in a war for the soul of our nation. Because right now, at the core of our nation, they're trying to strip us through abortion, through human trafficking, through the LGBT community agenda. We have drag queens doing story hour at public libraries, flashing 5- and 6-year-olds. Flashing 5- and 6-year-olds. They are doing strip dances in front of our children at story hour in public libraries. That seems to me like a war for the soul of our nation. Right now, they've got several states that are trying to push the abortion law all the way to the limit. We know what Virginia has done. It's been spoken of. Our president spoke about it. It's a State of the Union address. Illinois is trying to push even farther. My mom, Nita, had a vision many years ago that women would go to the Golden State Bridge and throw their children as old as 2 years old off of that bridge simply because they didn't want them anymore. And nothing was being done to stop it. Why? Because it was legal. We are fighting for the soul of our nation. We are fighting for the soul of our nation. We have a president in office today who stands for Christians. He stands against abortion. He has passed more legislation to fight human trafficking and stop the money flow of human trafficking than any other president in history. He's trying to stop the flow of human smuggling at our border. And the media puts an all-out assault on our president, day in and day out. Why? Why the assault on this president? Why? Because he is God's chosen candidate. God put him in place to reestablish our Constitution. God put him in place to fight for us so that we could retain our freedom of speech. God put him in place to fight for us so that we could retain our Second Amendment rights. God put a man in place who would begin to restore the economy that has been stripped from us for the last 40 years. I look at what's taken place in Nigeria, and I see the blueprint that they brought over here. And I say no. No. I will not stand to see this nation stripped of its rights. I will not stand to see our children thrown off bridges. I will not stand to see drag queen story hour in our public libraries and in our school system. I will not stand to watch them strip our youth of their innocence. I will not stand. I will fight for the soul of our nation. God has promised us many things for our country. He's promised us tremendous things for our country. And I shared last week that he promised a revival. What does that revival look like? You know, we think of wonderful services where people are getting healed, people are getting saved. We think of all of this wonderful stuff that happens. The glory of the Lord falls. But I'm telling you, this revival that's coming is going to be different than anything you've seen before, because this revival is truly going to bring in a harvest of people that will bow the knee to Christ as their Lord and Savior. They will bow their knee. They will know what they've been saved from. They will know what they've been saved from. Part of the agenda against our country is to strip down and water down our gospel. Why is that? Because if you just get saved and you don't realize what you've been saved from, what good is your salvation? Will you hold on to it? Will you fight for it? Will you go to war for it? Do you know what you've been saved from? Do you know what you're fighting for? Do you know that the shaking is coming? Because God is trying to establish his children. He's trying to anchor us down deep into the bedrock. Joel's army is about prayer shields being raised up to go down and penetrate through the earth's crust, down into the tectonic plates and bring stability to a nation. But do you know that a shaking is what really drives you there? When you see a shaking in your nation, do you bow the knee? Do you go to prayer? Or do you shake your fist at God? When you see it shaking, do you go to God, declare Psalms 91 over your life, and move forward as a warrior? Do you allow him to do the pressing in your life that's necessary to get you down through the earth's crust, down into the tectonic plates, so that you can be stability in the nation in which you live? Do you allow him to do that? Trials bring that about. Trials develop us. They teach us. They train us. They prepare us for the battles. They refine us. They nurture us. They develop us as soldiers for the king. They develop us as holy children before our God. Trials and tribulation shake the garbage out of us. There is nothing that will uproot ungodly things in our life like a trial. Nothing. As long as you've laid your life bare before him. Because trials produce two things. People that will drive away from God or people that will be driven to God. Those that will be driven to God will come before him, bow the knee, and allow them. Allow themselves to be pressed down through the earth's crust and into the tectonic plates to bring forth stability in the land. When the shaking comes, those that are bringing stability to a nation will not be shaken. They simply won't, because they're anchored in God. So those that are anchored in God, those that allow him, those that allow him to sift them and remove the things that are not of him, those that when they're hurt, go to God, they come under the Psalms 91 covering. We can pray the Psalms 91 covering all day long. It's true. We can. But there's something more to the Psalms 91 covering that we often forget. If we're under the shadow of the Almighty, if we're under the wings of the Almighty God, we've got to be right next to him. And what keeps us from being there? Sin. Sin is that which separates us from God. We can go all the way back to Adam and Eve. What happened when Adam and Eve sinned? They were cast out of the garden. Away from God. Away from his covering. Away from his provision. Away from his presence. Can you imagine walking with him day in and day out? Every day he came to see you. And suddenly that stops. Think about that for a moment. Are there times in your life when you feel him slipping away? When you feel the presence of God begin to lift? That's the time we have to go to our knees and find out why. I cannot stress this enough, the importance of pressing into God in this hour. A Samuel generation is rising. There'll be warriors for the king. But before that happens, the shaking will come, my friends. And if we have not pressed into God, we will be uprooted. He is wanting to raise up a people who walk in a place with him where they can hear him. They hear his voice. When they begin to step away, they feel the coldness and they quickly move back into his presence. Under his wing, we will trust. I had a vision when I was teaching this to our Joel's Army people. For those of you not in Joel's Army, our Joel's Army prayer leaders, we offer a twice a month teaching for them. And I was teaching on Psalms 91. And in the midst of that, the Lord gave me an experience of being in his presence under the wing. And when I was standing here in my room, which is where I do the teaching from my room, I was standing here and the Lord was right next to me. And he reached his arm out over me, over the top of my head, and I felt the warmth of him next to me on my left side. And I kind of leaned in and I could hear his heartbeat. I could hear his heartbeat. I heard nothing else but his heartbeat. I felt the warmth of his presence next to me. On my right side, it was cool. On my left side, it was very, very warm. And I felt the warmth of his arm over my head. His presence was so tangible in that moment. I felt as though I was moving into a cloud with him, with his presence. And I went to step away, and I instantly felt the cold against my left side. Instantly, I quickly stepped back because I'm thinking I want to be as close to him as possible. And he said, what keeps you from this place? What keeps you from being here? Sin. That's what separates you from me. When Jesus would heal people and say, go and sin no more, sin separates us from God. When we sin, we are separated from him. We open ourselves up to sickness. We open ourselves up to attacks. I'm not saying that every sickness and every attack that comes is as a result of sin, and I want to be clear on that. What I'm trying to say to you is that we open ourselves up to it. Sometimes God lifts his covering and allows it because he's trying to teach or develop us in other ways. But I'm addressing specifically right now in the midst of a time when our nation is about to go through a shaking, and I am desperately calling out to the intercessors to cling to him with all that you have and to remain underneath the shadow of the Almighty. If you're going to remain there, if you're going to stay there under the shadow of the Almighty in the security and the warmth of his embrace, you must be on all shadow of a doubt. Separate yourself from sin. If there is sin in your life, find out what it is. If you don't know what it is, seek his face till he speaks it to you, and he will speak it to you, because that's the God we serve. He wants to anchor you down through the tectonic plates into the bedrock so that you can be stability, not only for the nation, but for your family. That's what he wants in this hour. He wants you to get up and hear tragedy has taken place, and you are a rock, an anchor for your family, an anchor for your church, an anchor for your prayer cell, an anchor. Because when the sifting comes, my friends, and it is coming, you must remain strong. And if you are living your life pressing after him above all else, seeking him with everything and all that you have, you will be that rock in times of trouble. You will be. What did the Lord tell Peter? What did Jesus tell Peter? I desire to sift you. Luke. Luke 21. Bear with me, because it's important for us to know. Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. What happened? He denied Christ three times. Yep, he got sifted. It wasn't even long after Jesus told him this. God allowed it, though, didn't he? God allowed the sifting to come. Why? Because he could establish a rock in Peter. He could establish a man who would go on to build the church, to teach people about the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone, and to build the church one rock upon another, a stone of strength and endurance. Above all else, when faced with death, would not even die the same way that Christ did, but said, no, I don't deserve to die the way my Lord did. Hang me upside down. And he was crucified upside down. He was fervent. He was passionate. And he was a rock. And when people came up against Peter after his sifting, they bounced back. He was a stumbling stone for others to trip upon. And when they did, Peter pulled them up and created a man or a woman of God that would serve God with all they had. He knew where they'd been because he knew where he walked. God allowed the sifting to take place. Don't be fooled by anyone that says otherwise. Look at Job. God allowed Job to be sifted. God allowed Job to be sifted. He pointed him out to Satan. But he knew that Job would stand the test of time. Job was a rod of strength. And when everyone came against him, he stood and would not curse God. This morning when we were in prayer, the Lord reminded me of what he showed me. That the shaking is coming. And he said, remind my people that I would not allow the shaking to come. if I did not believe that they could endure. I would not allow the shaking to come if I did not believe that they could not endure. Lord, Lord, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help me, Lord. Lord says that we are not to be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Why? Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Is the Lord your habitation? Are you resting under his wings? Are you trusting under his wings? When the shaking comes, will he be your habitation? I want to tell you what's going to happen when the shaking comes. And the reason why I'm telling you this is because you need to understand the end result. The end result is the exposure of the corruption in our country. The end result is the exposure of unbelievable amounts of human trafficking. The end result is the bringing down of people who have been determined to bring destruction to our country. So corruption is going to be exposed. Human trafficking is going to be exposed. And those that are seeking to bring destruction to our land, they're going to be exposed in the midst of this. That's why the shaking has to come. When Jesus told the parable of the tares and the wheat, they said, well, should we just go and pull up the tares? No, you might damage the wheat. Wait until the harvest. The shaking is coming, my friends. And when the shaking comes, it's going to uproot the tares. It's going to uproot the tares. And in that day, I look at California and the condition California's in, and the amount of politicians we have in this state that are determined to bring destruction to not only our state, but the nation. And I think, Lord, it's worth the shaking if you're going to uproot those people that are passing legislation that allow for drag queen story hour. It's going to be worth the shaking if you're going to uproot politicians that pass legislation that are teaching my 5-year-old grandson about homosexuality. They're supposed to be learning their ABCs, not about same-sex marriage. And yet there they are, teaching it in the school. Will it be worth the shaking? If we see abortion pills stop being distributed on our campuses? Will it be worth a shaking if we see abortion overturned in our nation? Will it be worth the shaking if we see prayer allowed in our schools? Will it be worth the shaking if churches don't have to hire homosexuals to be high school youth pastors? Will it be worth the shaking if we see the rule of law reestablished in our land? Will it be worth the shaking if our children are taught the Constitution once again in school? Will it be worth the shaking if you can talk to your coworker about God and about sin and about their need for salvation without being sent to HR to be written up or worse, be fired? Will it be worth the shaking if a revival hits our land that changes our country at the very fabric, at the very fiber of our land? Will it be worth the shaking? Can you hold on to the promises of God long enough to endure the shaking? Can you allow Him to create in you a strong fortress, a rock? A prayer shield in our land. Will it be worth the shaking? Can you hold on? Can you, my friend, allow yourself to be a part of birthing this in our land? Will it be worth it? Instead of Pride Week on our campuses, they teach about missionaries. Will it be worth it to see the fabric of our society changed to a God-fearing fabric? Will it? This is a call to embrace the shaking. Something so exciting and so powerful is on the other side of the bend, but we've got to be willing to embrace the shaking. Because He is our strong tower. He is our fortress. He is our ever-present help in times of trouble. He is the rock that we cling to. He is the one that we stand beneath for protection and comfort and strength. He is the one that we're fighting to proclaim in our nation. He's all that we need. And the shaking will give us back our voice. Can you endure the shaking? I challenge you to seek His face on this, knowing that at the end of this road, profound and mighty things will take place. This is not something to fear, but it's something to embrace. When Paul was traveling throughout Macedonia. Do you know what they said to Jason when they pulled Jason out of his house after Paul had been beaten and fled the city? Jason, what are you doing with these men? They've turned the world upside down. That's what Paul did with the gospel. He uprooted the darkness and planted and rewove the very fiber of Macedonia with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it takes some shaking. It takes some turning the world upside down. It takes some of that. Are you willing to do, to endure, to embrace being a part of turning the world upside down? Can you let God ignite your faith for it? Ignite your fight for it. Ignite the warrior within you to endure. Can you? Will you? He will grant it to you, my friends. He will grant it to you. You must only say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. When Moses was used to bring Israelites out of Egypt, there was some serious shaking that took place. But at the end of the road, the glory of the Lord fell. And they had a fire by night and a cloud by day that led them and guided them. He provided clothing. He provided food. He provided water. The Bible says their clothes didn't even wear out. It grew with them. Their shoes grew with them. All that they needed was provided for them. Why? Because they said, yes, Lord. I'm ready for the fight. I'm ready for a new way. I'm ready for a new day, for a new way, Lord God. And from that was born the nation of Israel. So it's been done before. Heavenly Father, my heart is just so full. My heart is just so full. My spirit, man, feels like it's going to explode. Not what you want to release in your people, those that are willing to say yes. It will ignite them. It will impart your spirit into them. The courage, the fighter, the warrior spirit within. It will grant them all they need. Give them the faith to say, yes, Lord. I want to be a part of the shaking. I want to relay the fabric of our nation. I want to strip away the corruption that's been laid on top of it. I want to strip it away and be a part of relaying the fabric of our nation. I want to be a part of turning the world upside down. I want to be a part of igniting the fire of God in our nation. That's what I want to do, Lord. Give them the courage to say yes, the boldness to say yes, to be anchored in you, to be a rod of stability in the nation. Do it, God. Do it. Do it within them. I'm telling you, I see those that are saying yes. And he is laying like, titanium layer upon layer within you to strengthen you and create stability within you to endure. stacked upon stack upon stack of what you need. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for what you do in your people. Thank you for what you will do in your people. Thank you for giving them the courage to say yes. Yes. In your precious name. Amen.